This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. I don't even know what episode it is. Let me line this up a little better. There we go. I should have written it down. I didn't. But anyways, it's been a good week. I mentioned last week that we had launched a new website for missionaries to register for the events that happen through the summer, and that seems to be going fine. We're just cleaning up bunches and bunches of little stuff as we go, but that's to be expected. This is the first time we have used this, and it was done quickly. And some of the rules weren't very well defined, so you know, I had actually told the young man who's kind of heading this all up when we started into it, and we kind of hit the first thing, and we got through that, and that was fine, and I had mentioned to him, I said, okay, we're not done yet. I said, just wait and see. There will be more stuff coming out of the woodwork. This is the way this goes. This is the first time we've done this. So, but we haven't come up against anything that we haven't been able to solve or understood how we would go about solving it. So that's a win. And then simultaneously in between, I've been working on another project that is going to be the next big hot thing as soon as I can get completely turned loose from the MTMR website. So, pottering along, all is well, all is good. I may have mentioned last week that the new office building that we moved into has been, the new office says that we moved into. Looks like it's being sold out from underneath us, so there will be more offices. So, of course, there was a lot of chatter about that. There continues to be chatter about that, but it'll be fine. Everything will be fine. So all of that is puttering along. The writing's going fine. I'm on book 21 now. All the beta books are out. And I think I've started chapter 5. There's usually about 30 chapters. And I'm hoping to get to about chapter 15 or 16 by the time I get to the first week of June. So that's the schedule. Trying to get in this 8 weeks here for April and May, trying to get through about 80,000 words. And if I can get to 90,000 words, all the better. Seems to be going fine. I don't know exactly where some of the stuff is going yet, but you know what? I've done this 20 times already. It will be fine. We will figure something out. So all is well there. The costumes are going fine. I'm working on Bugs Bunny, and I'm hoping to have the Bugs Bunny costume fairly well squared away by this weekend, and then it'll give me another 3 or 4 days just for whatever little additional accoutrements I wish to make, like a small poster or those types of things. I do think now I know what the bit is, so I know how the bit is formed up. However, I'm missing the punchline at the end. I mentioned this before, I've collected a bunch of stuff, and I've formed that all into a bit, starting with the Bugs Bunny commemorative stamps, which is true. There was a set of Bugs Bunny commemorative stamps that was put out in 2020, celebrating the 80-year anniversary of Bugs Bunny, because Bugs Bunny debuted in 1940. Been a long time. And so the commemorative stamps were celebrating the 80th anniversary of Bugs Bunny review. So that's the true part. And then off of that, I'm going to launch into this. So then a couple of years later, somebody thought, man, it would be a great idea if we did some kind of Broadway revival for Bugs Bunny, since Bugs Bunny is popular. That would probably go well. And they kind of were looking at the stamps and the fact that the stamps existed and they were making out of paper. What they kind of decided was, well, there's 10 stamps, 10 different images that are classic Bugs Bunny cartoons. So why don't we kind of do a revival of that? And we'll do 10 little vignettes for the Broadway play. And since it's made out of paper, and since there have already been things like Mario Brothers paper edition that were origami, why don't we just go ahead and do it all as origami? And so that seemed like a good idea. So they designed all the costumes, they got all the vignettes written, and they put all the stuff together, and they did some really cute stuff, like at the end of the show, they had Porky Pig come out and go, that's all folds. You know, so we're working in the jokes. And so that was fun, but man, the whole thing just bombed. It was not good. In fact, it folded after a week. And then it went to pay-per-view, but it didn't do well there either. And the main problem seemed to be with the costumes. People just didn't like them. In fact, when the audience was polled, the audience thought the paper costumes were terrible. And so that's how much I have so far, and then I need the final. And what the final is, and that just goes to show you, I don't know what that light is yet, but we're working on it. I'm going to work on it. It needs to be some sort of common saying, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It needs to be something like that. Or close the barn doors, you know, after the horse got up. It needs to be something like that. But it needs to have maybe Bugs Bunny in it, or it needs to have, like, some sort of reference to origami or something. Something. So that's what I have to find. And so, you know, I'm talking to my friends about that now. And then I'm going to start reviewing common sayings just to see if I can come up with something for that final boom. And that'll be the bit, and we'll be good to go. So I think I've pretty much solved all the issues with the costume, I think. And so I just have to finish up a few little details on that. And then I got to get this bit going. And then we'll go from there. So all is well. And then the next one after that is World Parrot Day. But that's just going to be an easy throw together a bunch of stuff. And then beyond that, there is the debut of Marvin the Martian happens near the end of July, I think. And I may do a Marvin the Martian costume this year. So I have a friend who loves Marvin the Martian, has been wondering when I'm going to do a Marvin the Martian costume. So we might do that just for fun. Anyways, so all is well with the costumes. All is well with writing. All is well with work. We've got small groups tonight at the house. And so I'm headed back home, going to help my wife get set up for that. And then we'll go into the weekend. It's Talk Like Shakespeare Day this weekend, so that'll be fun. Do my little quote, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So, he was having a bad day. Anyway, so I think I got that queued up, ready to go. So I don't have much time to talk about the topic of the day, but the topic of the day, I was listening to some things this last week, and honestly, I am to the point now where I've pretty much decided that it doesn't matter what legacy media says, it doesn't matter what the government says, it doesn't matter what Hollywood says. I'm just going to do the opposite, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What is happening in this day and age is so upside down that it's really difficult to ascribe it to just incompetence or lack of knowledge. It just seems like that what's happening now is, as Jordan Peterson would say, anti-truth. That it's just upside down. Everything is so upside down. And I really am reminded of the way that the scripture describes the last days and how that in those days people will call wrong right and right wrong. And I had a couple of examples of that this week, and one of them I understood and I knew. The other one actually surprised me. I'm getting my mail. Because I thought, what? I mean, I didn't even know there we were open for debate on the second one. I have a box.
I have a box. One moment. Let's see if I can get this done. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Oh, getting it, getting it, getting it, getting it, getting it, getting it.
Yay! Got it. So, the first one had to do with the COVID vaccine. I was listening to Brent Weinstein, and he was talking to a pathologist who apparently is a noted pathologist. You know, has done 40,000 pathology thingies or whatever we call them, and was well respected in his field, et cetera, et cetera. And he had started to raise his hand when the vaccines first started coming out because he was seeing things that were unusual. And so he was starting to raise his hand and say, wait a minute, we maybe need to talk about this. And of course he just got excoriated and, you know, blackballed and everything. So he spent the entire podcast and they just kept going through the stuff that was dangerous and wrong about the vaccine and how it affected the immune system. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's like you couldn't be any more disruptive and any more damaging if you had planned it. And I was just thinking, God night, what in the world? And yet, you know, it's still being given to people and it's still available out there, and we just keep still doing this and trying to get it put on the child, the child vaccination schedule, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and life just keeps going on. So that was the first thing that I was just shaking my head over thinking, man, but the second one was stuff that I was not aware of. And it had to do with climate change. So Jordan Peterson was talking to a man who is an expert in his field, climatology, and in fact was one of the founding people with Greenpeace. So, I mean, he's been in this environmental movement for a long time. Well respected in his field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he takes a really long view of this whole climate stuff. And he is very critical of anyone who decides they're just going to wake up 150 years ago and say, okay, this is the end-all, be-all discussion about climate. And in fact, he goes back, you know, 250 million years and where we are in the epochs and how things change on Earth and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he was making claims that maybe I've heard tangentially, but I haven't actually heard it in these terms. But his major claim, and then I gotta go help my beloved get ready, his major claim was that the problem is not carbon dioxide, the solution is carbon dioxide. Because he was saying that if you take the longer view, you see that we're between two interglacial periods, and that at the start of the industrial age, our carbon was 350 parts per million. And according to the projections from the research that they've done from other ice ages, He firmly believed that if we had gone into another ice age with carbon at 350 parts per million, that carbon is going to drop, and once you get below 150 parts per million, all your plants die. So that's bad. And he was saying what people don't realize is that having our carbon jacked up to 450 parts per million is much better overall, because that's going to keep the entire planet from dying. And they started talking about the benefits of having a higher carbon level. He said, because people talk about a 1.5 degree Celsius and how that's going to kill all life on the planet. He said, that's ridiculous. He said, you look back beyond the 150 years or so, and you look back into the epochs, and he said, the Earth has sustained much higher temperature. Life has been fine. We've sustained much higher carbon dioxide levels in the thousands of parts per million, and it's all been fine. And they started talking about the fact that the additional carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has actually led to a greening of the Earth. It's actually led to more plant growth. And the claim was made, well, I've heard this claim multiple times, that the southern edge of the Sahara Desert is actually greening up, and it's rolling back the desert. And then in addition to that, I hadn't heard this claim before, was that the Earth is greening at such a rate in the last 20 years that there is an additional area the size of the United States that has greened up in the world because of the additional carbon dioxide. Because plants really like carbon dioxide and it helps them to prosper. So, you know, if that's true, we not only have this massive industry that's trying to push carbon sequestering, carbon dioxide sequestering, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and is trying to pummel us and get us to stop using fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because they're going to destroy the planet. That it is completely upside down. It's just completely upside down. And even though there are things that can be done that make all kinds of sense, i.e. small, compact, nuclear fission plants that have a much better safety profile than the old fission plants. No one in the whole green movement wants to recognize those or recommend them. Maybe there's a few details to work out yet on them, and maybe nobody has a reactor that is just cookie cutter and can be stamped out like crazy, but that's being worked on, and there's bunches and bunches of progress on that, but no one wants to recognize that or recommend that in the mainline environmental movement. It's all renewables, when in fact there's no way that renewables can take over our energy needs. And as I've heard people say, if you're going to push for all renewables, what you're doing is you're just condemning vast swaths of people in Africa to starve to death if they don't freeze to death. Because there's just not enough energy to go around. Whereas if you would build nuclear power plants and use that for the industrialized world, and continue to work on solar and wind and those things, and continue to work on battery technology, and continue to work on fusion, you could supply the Earth with all of the energy that it needs and pave a pathway forward. So, that was kind of an interesting thing this week, that two different things I just looked at it and went, yeah, this really is anti-truth. If it's true, it really is anti-truth. It's not that we've got a problem, but the answer that we've been given is completely upside down and seems to be dedicated to our destruction, which is really, really interesting and may fit in with the philosophy that there is some force that is supplying some impetus in all of this that is beyond any concern, and in fact might be driven by a hatred of the human race. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.